FHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump is back in the White House now after trips to Israel and Egypt. Correspondent Tony Dokapol reports from Jerusalem.
President Trump addressing Israel's parliament, the Knesset.
20 courageous hostages are returning to the glorious embrace of their families, and it is glorious.
This, Mr. Trump says, is a new chance for the Middle East.
It's the start of a grand concord and lasting harmony.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Donald Trump is the greatest friend that the state of Israel has ever had in the White House.
Trump went on to Egypt for a peace summit where 20 world leaders signed a declaration supporting his efforts to end the war in Gaza. White House correspondent Nancy Curtis was there.
Trump's 20-point peace plan that was the basis for this deal calls for the creation of a temporary international stabilization force to help secure border areas in Gaza. But it is still unclear which countries will contribute troops, how large the force will be, and how long its deployment will last.
President Trump's latest tariffs are going into effect. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger has the list.
There will be 10% tariffs on imported timber and lumber and 25% tariffs on upholstered wooden furniture products and kitchen cabinets. Tariffs will go even higher on furniture products. They'll go to 30% at the start of next year, and cabinets will rise to 50%. That's according to an executive order.
An evacuation effort is in effect through Wednesday morning for parts of Southern California affected by wildfires. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson tells us the problem is rain and mud.
We are watching a new storm system that is going to be bringing the potential for mudslides to portions of California, particularly in Southern California. We're looking at some flash flood concerns along some of the burn-scarred areas in Southern California.
Alaska state troopers report search and rescue efforts continued in western coastal areas hit by severe flooding. They say there are no missing people. They rescued 51 people and recovered the body of a deceased woman. A small airplane crashed onto Interstate 195 in Massachusetts, killing both people on board. CBS News Boston reporter Louisa Miller went to the scene.
You can see a crumpled pile of metal. Police say that was a single engine fixed wing plane that crashed. Further in front of it, there is a car that clearly swerved into the median. Right now, it's not entirely clear how the car was impacted by the crash, whether it was hit by the aircraft or otherwise crashed by itself.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Game 2 in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Brewers and Dodgers tonight at American Family Field in the National League Championship. The Dodgers taking Game 1 last night, final score 2-1, but a crazy play in the fourth inning. The Brewers' Sal Frelick in center field. Dodgers slugger Max Muncy at the plate. Bases loaded. Brian Anderson with a call on TBS.
And Muncy skies one to center field. Hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out. Might have a play at the plate. The throw, not in time. Goes out. He's out.
Frelick preventing a grand slam at the wall. The first 8-6-2 double play in baseball playoff history. Frelick after the game.
You know, ball kind of tipped off my glove, and then I just kind of saw it floating there, so I grabbed it and just fired it into Joey.
NBA, the Bucks hosting the Thunder tonight in Milwaukee in their final preseason game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, will be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62.
Currently, 46 degrees. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome UW Cinematheque programmer and host of the Lifers podcast, Ben Reiser, and then comedy sports director Mike Kauth joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is finally Monday, folks. We get to get together and talk about all the things we love to talk about. The things that bring people together, right? Showbiz, movies, TV, comedy, music, and Conrad's favorite, dance.
Well, dance in the end zone.
Dance in the end zone. Have you ever danced in the end zone?
I wish I could say I have.
I should clarify that and say after a touchdown, not just gone in the end zone and dance like a maniac.
You know? Well, you know, they don't let you celebrate in high school football.
Is that true?
Yeah, but also I never got a touchdown in high school football.
Take all the fun out of it. You never got a touchdown as a fullback? You were a fullback, right?
Yeah, but I didn't. Okay. I was a second string fullback.
Yeah.
So the play time there wasn't, you know, I got one snap for 7 yards.
All right, that's a pretty good average.
And then the next play, I ran the wrong way, and then it was a running back play, you know, and I went the wrong way to block for him, and he still got a touchdown though. He ran like 40 or 45 yards or something like that.
We'll be back right after this. I've got to get Conrad talking to ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with more fullback talk after this. Well, it sounds like it worked out anyway. That's pretty good, despite your failings or your misdirect.
I think the thing I made a mistake on is telling the coach I made a mistake.
He wouldn't have noticed. It's a heck of a coach. Well, I have a great show for you guys tonight. We are very excited to have you with us. It's going to be a fun night here. We've got two great guests. Jamie McShane starts us off at 6:35. He is one of the stars of the show Task on HBO. It is a really, really good show. A great cast. Mark Ruffalo, Martha Plimpton, Tom Pelfrey, I think I'm saying his name right, plays one of the main actors too. Just a really good actor. I have not seen this guy before, but and then Jamie, our pal, who's a friend of Nightlight and a very good friend of mine, will be here. He plays the main bad guy, Perry, and he's excellent. And last night's episode, he and Mark Ruffalo had a scuffle in a cabin, and it was great. It was a great fight scene. So I'm excited to talk to Jamie about that. If you're interested in catching up on Task, folks, you can catch up. The season finale will be this coming weekend. So you got 6 episodes. The 7th and final episode, I believe, is this weekend. So we will try not to spoil anything tonight, but it will be great to have Jamie here at 6:35. And then at 7:20, my pal Mike Toomey swings by. I was just a guest on Mike's show called Laugh Tracks that he films in Chicago, where he has comedians on, and Mike is also one of the co-hosts of the WGN Morning Show and a very, very funny comedian, a big influence on me back when I started, and he is an outstanding fellow and a great comic and a good guy, so he will be here at 7:20. Mike and I are going to list our top five favorite stand-up comics of all time. Conrad, you're welcome to get in on that if you want to make a list throughout the show.
Peachuella.
We could, well, Natch. So actually, I'm going to say to Mike, none of our friends, no peers, but that wouldn't apply to you, Conrad. But you could do whoever you want. But like, yeah. I wouldn't want to like insult Mike by leaving him off the list, mostly because I wouldn't. But I know I'm not on his list, so I want to avoid that awkwardness. Now, I know I make Mike laugh hard off stage, which is not the best for a stand-up comic. But anyway, Mike will be here at 7:20, and we'll have a great, fun talk about stand-up comedians. And some sad news over the weekend. Diane Keaton died. She was the star of like 100 movies and an Oscar winner. And she is the subject of our... let's just do this now, Con. Let's get things going. This is our Nightlight Question of the Night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? 855-752-4842, 855-756. The phone lines are open, by the way, folks. You can also text us on the app. Or if you're watching the radio on the stream, you can drop us a stream comment and we will read it on the radio. This is a good one because Diane Keaton, we did Matt Damon last week and he's fine. Matt Damon's a good actor. I like a lot of his movies, but Diane Keaton is one of those Hollywood icons that has passed away. It's like the end of an era. She was 79 and just a real authentic human being. She chose never to marry, but she dated a lot of her co-stars, including Woody Allen, Warren Beatty, Al Pacino. She adopted two kids. She a lot of times played herself, like kind of like in the sense that Chevy Chase is always Chevy Chase. In many films, she was Diane Keaton. And the Annie Hall role was written for her by Woody Allen. And she won an Oscar for it. She won an Oscar for basically, and a Golden Globe, for basically playing herself. But she was so great. My favorite movie of Diane Keaton's, I'll go first, is Annie Hall, for which she won the Oscar. And there's a great line where Woody Allen is kind of courting her, and he says that he has to go to therapy. And she says, oh, you see a therapist? And he goes, yeah, just for 14 years. And then a few minutes later, he makes a joke about penis envy and says, I'm one of the few males that has that. And Diane Keaton just kind of does that Diane Keaton laugh and says, oh, 14 years, huh? Very funny, and she was so good in Annie Hall. You just kind of fell in love with her. It even made me like Woody Allen even more. I already liked Woody Allen as a stand-up. But that's my all-time favorite Diane Keaton film. So let me know yours. Drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X. Drop us a comment there, and give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. And drop us a comment on the app or at 855-752-4842. Con, you got a favorite Diane Keaton movie?
I haven't seen a lot of her movies,
yeah.
But I'd say either Godfather or Father of the Bride.
Yeah, Father of the Bride, she was great.
I think that's just a funny movie. So
it's interesting. I meant to say this before. The Godfather is actually my second favorite Diane Keaton role. I really liked her. One of my wife's favorite movies is Baby Boom. She was really good in that. But I like... In The Godfather, she played a totally different role. Like I said before, she kind of plays the same role often, and she's really good at it. But in The Godfather, when she played Michael Corleone's wife, Kay, she was just totally different. And it showed her range as an actor. She was really good as kind of a, you know, certainly a verbally abused wife. Michael Corleone was kind of a real jerk, obviously. And she was it was just great. It just showed her range. She was a really good actress. Father of the Bride is great, too. Looking for Mr. Goodbar is one that put her on the map. She starred in that film. She was a teacher that practiced risky behavior with Richard Gere. I want to say that was Richard Gere's first, maybe not first role, but kind of a breakout role for him. Kind of a different movie, though, but she was great in that, too. She will be missed. So let us know your favorite Diane Keaton film, folks, and we will we'll have a discussion like we often do here at Nightlight. I have to give congratulations to all the Brewer fans for beating my Cubs on Saturday. I will say that was, I wouldn't say the most exciting game.
Stressful game.
For you.
Yes.
Isn't it funny how like, I wasn't really expecting the Cubs to win, but when they went down 3-1, I just didn't feel great that they were going to come back. However, if they were winning 3-1, I would have been a nervous wreck. Because somehow, when you have a 1 or 2 run lead, it's very stressful in the playoffs. You get that one base runner on, and it's like, oh no. But I don't know. That was like the perfect game to see your team lose because it just wasn't that exciting. I wasn't losing my mind or anything. It was just like, they just didn't have it, you know. But congrats to the Brewers. They look great.
Yeah, I'm excited for the series against the Dodgers.
You got a favorite in that one, Con? I know you're going to say the Dodgers are probably going to win. And...
Well, you know, we did sweep the Dodgers in the regular season, so.
But you swept them?
Yeah. They didn't.
When you say we, you mean you and the Brewers.
I'm part of the team, all right?
I always make fun of people for saying that, but I do it too. It's fun.
I would say it's definitely not going to be a sweep. The Dodgers in the playoffs. They're really hot right now. So
did they win last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're the defending champs. So they've got that experience. They might be a little more relaxed, but I feel like based on what little reading I've done, the Brewers are a little more well-rounded. Very well managed.
Yeah. You know. It's really cool to see the Brewers win a playoff series in seven years. So I'm happy.
No, it's a good one. It's good. So good luck, Brewer fans. It's exciting. It would be a great thing for Wisconsin if they kept rolling through the playoffs. Great thing for Milwaukee, too.
Well, how about we go to the Madison? And
good Lord. You know what sucks about the Badgers? Like, I said this to I'm in a text group with my brother and a couple friends. Indiana is for real. Like, they went into Oregon, ranked behind them, and dominated them.
They look good.
And it's like, and not dominated, but it was a good, solid win. And that's where I thought the Badgers would be after 3 years under Luke Fickell.
That's the same thing I thought, too.
I mean, I just don't get it. And I have a friend that says, well, they don't have the players. I'm like, well, part of that's on Fickell, too.
It's not all Fickell's fault, but most of the blame, I think, goes on him right now.
It's just so depressing. It's like my Saturday. Whatever. I don't have to. I'm still going to watch just to see how the game goes, but I'm going to bail immediately.
I watched one drive. I said, all right, that's done. Because he threw an interception instantly.
It's just depressing, you know, but whatever. There are real problems in the world, too.
Yeah,
but
I guess,
it's a bummer.
Yeah.
This is National Native American Day, so if you have Native American blood, happy National Native American Day. It is also, I want to get this right, I don't want to misspeak, it's National No Bra Day.
Okay.
Which is a big...
Like no bra?
No, not bra, which I'm not wearing a bra myself in honor of all the no bras out there, but that's one of my favorite holidays, aside from, it's right after Christmas and Thanksgiving, and Arbor Day is No Bra Day. I like to celebrate by not wearing a bra. So happy No Bra Day to everybody as well, if you're listening. A lot of big releases on this day, too. All About Eve, 1950. And two very binge-watchable shows. Goliath in 2016 with Billy Bob Thornton. Season one, really enjoyed it. He's this lawyer bringing a class action suit, and he lives in this hotel in Santa Monica. He has like 3 rooms. And he, you know, knocked out the walls or whatever, and that's his living space. Great setting, but a pretty good show. And then Mindhunter in 2017. And I think it's like a show about the first FBI profiler. Two very binge-watchable shows. So check those out. I finally got through. By the way, there was almost a swear word on the show sheet today because I was typing it as using voice. And then I was playing video poker.
Oh.
And I said F blank F when I lost with a full house to a better full house. That was almost on the show sheet. But that doesn't go out to the public. And I'm going to talk about a movie tonight, folks, that I watched. I have to admit, I slogged through it, Friendship. I didn't love it. A couple really funny parts, but we'll talk about that, too. I don't know if you saw this Tim Robinson movie, but it was had some good parts. I didn't love it. I was expecting to love it. The lovable Paul Rudd is in it. But our question of the night, folks, what's your favorite Diane Keaton movie? She passed away over the weekend at the age of 79. I say Annie Hall. Close second is The Godfather. I feel like it shows Diane Keaton's range as an actor. Two very different roles. Loved her. When we come back, we'll read some of your texts and We're going to tell you about a new show Conrad watched, too. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
We want to thank our listeners for following the rapid support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the rapid support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me tonight, folks. On this Monday, it's finally Monday. I love Mondays. We finally get to talk about showbiz, baby. Coming up at 6:35, one of the stars of the hit HBO show Task will be here, Jamie McShane. He's been on the show before. Jamie is a phenomenal actor, and he plays the head honcho bad guy on Task. And it's a really good show, and his episode last night, really the last 2 weeks, I would say, he kind of stole the show. He had a great fight scene with Mark Ruffalo, and then a scene the previous week, which was pretty dark and really, just really amazing. Phenomenal actor. Mike Toomey will be here at 7:20, one of my oldest friends from the comedy biz. Mike and I are going to list our top five stand-up comics of all time. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? Diane Keaton passed away over the weekend at the age of 79. I say Annie Hall. She won an Oscar. And for those of you keeping track, fun fact, Annie's character in Annie Hall was from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Do we still have that clip of Christopher Walken, Con, where he plays her younger brother?
He's
talking about steering into oncoming traffic and these crazy visions he has. And then he's asked to take Annie and Woody Allen to the airport. Woody Allen's just like freaking out. It's one of the best scenes ever. Here's another fun fact. Christopher Walken's name in Annie Hall in the credits is misspelled. That might have been his first movie role or one of his first, and he just had a bit part, but talk about that. I mean, a legend. And his name is spelled wrong in the credits. That's crazy. So I was talking about this film, Friendship, that I saw. Tim Robinson, he's got his own brand of comedy. Very well respected, I would say, within comedy circles. Paul Rudd is also in the film. It's very awkward, kind of a cringe comedy. But I love cringe comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like he was just kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was beyond cringe. It was just kind of like, why would anybody give this guy the time of day, like, when he's just kind of a jackass, you know? I don't know.
I totally agree. I mean, the movie I thought was a little bit more funny than I think you're thinking.
Yeah.
I think some of the moments that really made me cringe were just like part of the, how I like the movie. I don't know.
Listen, I mean, him talking his wife into going into the sewers with him and then losing her.
That was so funny.
This big town, they have to rescue his wife and she's gone for like days in the sewer. Very funny. But I don't know. It just like the laughs that were there were great, but it was just kind of like, I watched it in three sittings. It just didn't really hold my interest that much. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. But I thought it was okay. Paul Rudd, always, he plays Paul Rudd and everything, but he's funny. He does a great job. So that's Friendship. And then you were going to tell me about his new show.
Yeah, it's called The Cheer Company. And it came out last night. And it's actually the same wife that he has in Friendship who plays his wife in this.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like he's a project manager for this new mall. And he's talking about it on stage. And he goes off right and sits in a chair. And the chair breaks. Like when he's on stage and all of his friends and everyone are around, they start laughing at him. So you can imagine what he does as Tim Robinson in that. He gets... he tries to find this chair company that made the chair, and he can't find the company.
Oh, that's funny.
He goes onto the website trying to find the help, you know, the help
right.
line or whatever.
I've gone down that rabbit hole.
And there's no one that can help him. And then he finds an address.
All right.
On a chair that he took a picture of a while ago. And he goes to this location. It's super mysterious. But the dumbest thing about it is that he had a devil's egg before that.
Possibly the grossest food ever created.
In the opening scene, he's like, I want to, it's just one deviled egg. He says, I'll have a box for this. And they're like, you won't eat this. 3 days later, he eats it and his stomach starts. So while he's in this mysterious place, he has to go to the bathroom.
That's great.
Goes to the bathroom and then someone...
No spoilers, though.
And this isn't too much spoiler. I mean, like, there's so much else that goes on to it, but I'll leave it at that. I thought it was weird and funny and just, like, I'm kind of curious how to see where this goes.
I'll check it out based on that recommendation. I will. I had an interesting story very similar to that. I was in a green room. When I first moved to L.A., I got booked in this pilot called Laugh Tracks, interestingly enough, because Mike Toomey's show is called Laugh Tracks. With Jim Gaffigan, and we were sitting in the green room, and I ate a bagel with cream cheese, and the cream cheese was like 2 weeks old.
Oh, no.
And I had to literally sprint to the bathroom, throw my microphone off, my lav mic, you know, during the taping, and I got back. I was in there for like 20 minutes, and Gaffigan goes, you know, we could hear you.
No way.
Well, I knew I took the mic off, but I still kind of panicked, because, you know, you never, that's just my, and I always feel like I do dumb stuff all the time. So I thought, but he really got me there. I you know, whatever. They hear me. There have been worse things captured on microphones from actors or actresses going to the bathroom. Throughout the show, folks, we're going to tell you at some point, there's this new show on Netflix called Monster, the Ed Gein Story. And Paul Vandenplas from Wonderfully Wisconsin, who travels the state with great tidbits and food tips and all kinds of fun historical stuff. He went to Ed Gein's hometown, and he gave us a little report, not just us, but everyone on Facebook, and we're going to play that for you a little later. Compliments of Wonderfully Wisconsin. Paul does great work there, and we got to have him back on because he's got to be getting close on his hamburger list. Wasn't he counting down like 100 hamburgers or something like that?
I saw recently he went to 11-11 in Fond du Lac.
Hamburger place?
That place is great.
Okay. All right, very cool. Well, our question of the night, folks, what is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? Let us know. Phone lines are open, but in just a few minutes after the news, I'm very excited to have Jamie McShane here, one of the stars of the hit show Task on HBO. The season finale, I believe, is coming up this weekend. So you have you've got time to catch up. There's only 6 episodes, and they're all fantastic. It's a great show. We'll talk to Jamie after the news. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Phase 1 of President Trump's peace plan saw families reuniting in both Israel and Gaza. Ron Halber of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Washington speaks about the return of the Hamas hostages to Israel.
Part of it is tempered by the fact that there still are 28 bodies remaining. But nonetheless, the pictures coming out of Israel and on social media and around the world are just pure joy.
Ukraine's President Zelensky will meet with President Trump at the White House Friday. He explained his agenda.
The main topic is air defense. And also, I will have a meeting with energy companies.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger tells us President Trump's new tariffs on lumber, kitchen cabinets, upholstered furniture, and bathroom vanities are in effect today.
The bad news is it's going to make those home improvement projects more expensive. The good news is the tariff rates are not as bad as originally thought.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Game 2 in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and Dodgers tonight at American Family Field in the National League Championship. The Dodgers taking Game 1 last night, final score 2-1, but a crazy play in the fourth inning. The Brewers' Sal Frelick in center field. Dodgers slugger Max Muncy at the plate. Bases loaded. Brian Anderson with a call on TBS.
And Muncy skies one to center field. Hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out of his glove, but he caught it. And now chaos on the bases. Might have a play at the plate. The throw. Not in time. No, he's out. He's out.
Frelick preventing a grand slam at the wall. The first 8-6-2 double play in baseball playoff history. Frelick after the game.
The ball kind of tipped off my glove, and then I just kind of saw it floating there, so I grabbed it and just fired it into Joey.
NBA, the Bucks hosting the Thunder tonight in Milwaukee in their final preseason game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Another Hollywood icon, Diane Keaton, passed away on Saturday. Diane Keaton got her start in theater. Her Broadway debut was Hair, and she received a Tony nomination for her performance in Play It Again, Sam. Keaton was a major part of the new Hollywood movement, benefiting from directors having more creative control than studios. A perfect example was her role in Woody Allen's Annie Hall. Allen wrote the part based on Keaton, and she won a Golden Globe and an Oscar. If you remember, Annie's character was from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Keaton was also one of Francis Ford Coppola's favorites, as he cast her as Kay Corleone, Michael's wife in all 3 Godfathers. Keaton never married, but often dated her co-stars like Warren Beatty, Woody Allen, and Al Pacino, and says she was happy she remained single. She was a mother to 2 adopted children, Dexter and Duke. Diane Keaton passed away on October 11th. She was 79 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, will be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62.
Currently, 46 degrees.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll talk a little bit about fighting authoritarianism and why Ken Burns, the great historian, has it right. And also, the Brew Crew and the NLCS. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on the night shift.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Coming up at 7:20, some comedy talk with my pal Mike Toomey. We're going to break down our top five favorite comics of all time. Our question of the night is in honor of Diane Keaton's passing over the weekend. What is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show a good friend of mine who also just happens to be a fantastic actor, and he is one of the stars of Task on HBO, Mr. Jamie McShane. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
I'm impressed that you want to come back after the way the last two things went. So,
well, I didn't say I wanted to come back. I just appreciate being back.
It helps to have a little dirt on you. I'm not going to lie. It's good to see you, buddy. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Thanks very much. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing very well. I get to talk about things I love to talk about every night and have pals like you on the show. So it is great to have you here. Do you have, before we get into Task, do you have a favorite Diane Keaton movie?
Yeah, Heather and I were talking about it. Mrs. Sofel.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That was with Mel Gibson. It was based on a true story that she helps these two brothers escape from a prison. It was a beautiful film. I have to watch it again because it'd been a while, but I remember really loving it.
Oh, that's great. Did you see Annie Hall?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was such an iconic role for her.
Yeah, she's great. So let's jump right in. I want to say the last time you were here, or maybe it was two times ago, you were talking about this show you did, and you said it's the best show you've ever been a part of, which got me excited, A, to talk to you about it, but B, also to watch the show. I've been watching Task, and it's so great. It the first episode was great, but it builds every week. And it just it's getting so intense, and there's one episode left. But how is it watching it? Like, when you said it was the best thing you've ever been a part of, and now you're getting to watch it, did that hold up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd say even more so. You know, because you read it, you film it, and then you forget things. And then there's scenes that I read, but I wasn't a part of, and you get to watch that. And I think, you know, everyone on the show is so good. I'm fortunate to be in it. And Tom Pelfrey, who plays Robbie, he's just mesmerizing in the show, you know?
He's really good. Where is he from, James?
Jersey boy. He's a Jersey boy.
Okay.
Yeah, he started actually in Scopes years and years and years ago. And then I worked with him on Mank. He played He played Mank's brother, Joseph Mankiewicz, you know, Gary Oldman's brother. And then he had a big run on Ozark.
Right.
So, yeah, he's a great guy, wonderful actor.
It's so great because, you know, I remember going to Pennsylvania years and years ago when I did stand-up, and I love that Pennsylvania accent. And he nailed it. I thought, man, and he, you know, with the ponytail he's got, I didn't recognize him. And I'm like, this is just a guy they pulled out of a shot in a beer bar. And he can act, you know what I mean? Like, he's that much, and he's like, you going down to the park, like that Pennsylvania accent. Yeah, he's great. Obviously, Mark Ruffalo, we claim him as one of our own because he was born in Wisconsin. I think he left when he was 6 months old. But it doesn't matter, Jamie. He's a Wisconsinite.
Tell him that.
Martha Plimpton, and so you got a great cast. Talk about that scene last night. You play Perry, the head of the Dark Hearts Motorcycle Club, and you're a pretty bad guy. That's got to be so fun. But the fight last night that aired between you and Ruffalo in the cabin, how fun was that to shoot?
It was fun. We rehearsed it And they really weighed into it. You know, Mark's a really good wrestler. He did wrestling, you know, in school when he was young. And then he did that movie Foxcatcher, where he played the wrestling coach. It was a true story about DuPont, I think. What's his name from The Office? Steve Carell was in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great movie. And Mark was amazing. So the stunt guy, Justin Reamer, he knew that Mark could wrestle. And it works for his character to bring in some of that, whereas I'm just a straight out brawler.
Yeah.
And then we were rehearsing on what to do and this and that. And at one point, Mark is choking me out. And I said to Mark and Justin, I said, "Can I bite him?" And Mark's like, "Yeah." And Justin's like, "Yeah." And the director's like, "Yeah." So I bite him, and that just sets him off. And Mark got hurt in that scene. On one take early on, they moved some of the, I don't know, some bookshelf or something that wasn't there, or that was there, that I throw him into. And then when I threw him this second time, he expected to race into the bookshelf or whatever it was. I don't remember. And it wasn't there, so he went further back, and he nailed his head.
Oh, man.
And he cut it open. I think he had to get stitches. I think he wound up having a concussion, but he went through the whole thing. It was great.
It's very similar to Mayor from Easttown.
Mayor of Easttown.
It's very realistic. Like, I love that, you know, Ruffalo leads this task force, Tom, and he's just a regular guy, though. He's not a superhero. Like, he kind of gets his ass kicked a couple times in the show. And then with you, finally, I'm like, all right, finally, he looks like a guy who can defend himself at least, because you guys had this really great head-to-head. But I understand he ate a lot of Philly cheesesteaks to put on a few pounds. Like, he looks like a real guy. And this is the same guy that played Detective Fanning in Collateral, where he's kind of a badass. Like, does that elevate your game when you act opposite a guy like that, just like I'm sure you elevate his game?
Oh, thank you. I don't know about that. But yeah, definitely. I mean, but everyone on the show, Sam Keeley, who plays Jason, you know, my kind of underling.
Yeah.
He was fantastic to work with. I mean, it was just an amazing thing to be a part of. But yes, it does elevate your game when you get to work with people that are that good, and you know they're that good. Like, you know them ahead of time.
Yeah.
Or of them.
Sure. My guest is Jamie McShane. He is one of the stars of the hit HBO show Task, and he's got many other great credits. Check out his work. If you go to IMDb, folks, you can lose yourself in Jamie's resume. He's been part of a lot of great projects. What I always find it interesting when someone like you, who's worked so hard and you didn't start acting till you were an adult, and then you're opposite someone like Martha Plimpton, who was kind of a younger actor. She was like a child actor. Mm-hmm. I think she's in The Goonies. Is that kind of surreal when you get to the set and you're like, oh my gosh, that's, you know, someone I watched when I was going to the cinema when I was 14, you know?
Yeah, it is, especially even, yeah, it is. And when I worked with Gary Oldman years ago, that was kind of that too, where you're like, oh my God, this is someone I've looked up to. And you're like, holy mackerel, I get to be on screen with them, you know?
Yeah.
And Martha's great. She's a hoot. And she was wonderful in this, in Task. I think it's one of the best things I've seen her do.
Yeah, she's really good. And the writing is so good. Like, there's so many misdirects where you think you got it figured out, and then they keep you guessing. And I like that it breathes a little bit. It's not wall-to-wall action, and it's not boring. It's like the perfect, and Mare was like that too. It's like the perfect combination. It's just great storytelling. So for you as an actor, what was it about Perry that, like, just made you go, I got to play this role?
Ironically, I helped a friend of mine audition for the role of Jason the week before. And he said, you know, you'd be great for this Perry role. And I thought, all right, I don't know. We'll see, you know, see if anything happens. Then a week later, I had the audition. So I went back to my friend and he auditioned me. We just kind of turned the camera the other way. And I felt, at first, I didn't think I was big enough to play this big, you know, motorcycle dude. And then I thought, well, Gary Oldman would nail this. And Willem Dafoe would nail it. And they're, you know, they're not, Willem's a much smaller dude. But I've worked with both of them. Not that I'm at that level, but I'm like, what would they do that? And they would just sell it. They would. So for me, I thought Perry's he's a little crazy, and he moves kind of funny. And it really helped me develop the character. And then Sam Keeley, who plays Jason, one day I expressed to him, I don't know if I'm big enough before we shoot. And he goes, no, Jamie McShane, He goes, I am a sledgehammer. I come in, I bust everything down. You are a blade. He goes, you talk to someone, and all of a sudden they look down, and their belly's cut open, and they're dying. And I thought that was pretty fun.
Well, and
so
there's
rolled with that.
And without doing a spoiler, yeah, no, you just got to check out the show. Is he Irish?
Yeah, yeah, he's from Tullamore, where Tullamore Dew, the whiskey's from.
Buddy, we've shared a few bottles of that. We've shared some Tullamore Dew over the years, you and I.
Yeah.
That's great. He is excellent, too. I think this is the first thing I've seen him in. But do you like, Jamie, you've played all kinds of roles, but playing a role like Perry, what's that like? I mean, is that, I feel like a fanboy here, but that must have been so, it must be great to play where you get to be this total badass and maybe bring out your own badassery in doing so.
Yeah, you know, Brad Inglesby, who wrote both Mare and Task, every character he writes is so layered. They're so rich, and they, within such a limited time, you know, it's like he creates these characters like from novels, and you learn about them quickly, all of them. So to get to play one of his characters is amazing because they're so well written. And then for me, Perry especially, was just like, it just fit, you know, and I had so much fun playing it, and it was great.
You definitely have that side to you. Just with our kids at the park, you scared me a few times. Just like... All right. Again, here's my last fanboy question, and you are my friend, but has there been any talk from the show or your reps or anything about possible Emmy nominations? I mean, it's such a hit show. You've got such a high profile on the show.
For the show itself, do you mean?
Well, or for your role as like a supporting actor.
You know, there's always hope. There has been, you know... The idea has been thrown around, but I don't know what that means exactly. It's also, you know, the Emmys aren't for another year at this point, but hopefully there's some award shows earlier on, like Critics' Choice and the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Globes that, you know, I think the show Tom Pelfrey, Ruffalo will definitely get some looks, and some of the other actors and actresses, and hopefully I end up in that boat.
Yeah, it's got to be tough when you have such a great ensemble. You know what I mean? Like you're just surrounded by great talent. But that's exciting. Okay. So without no spoilers, the finale is this weekend, correct? Oh, did we lose Jamie? Oh, there he is. Do we have you back, buddy?
There we go. I'm
yeah,
back.
Cool. So, the season finale is this weekend. No spoilers or anything, but, what can you like give us a hint of what's to come, or is it, you probably can't say anything?
I'm not telling you anything.
I'm trying to get people to the damn show, Jamie, to sit in front of their TV.
Watch the show, and it is a great. It's a great show. It's the greatest thing I've ever gotten to work on, and Bloodline was pretty amazing for me, and this is the first one to surpass it.
Wow!
It's an incredible show. So please. Tune in.
And absolutely, folks, check out all six episodes. You have time before next weekend. And I would say episode 5, was that your favorite to shoot so far without saying what happens exactly? You take a pretty dark
4,
turn there.
I think 4.
Was it 4? Okay.
4, I had a lot of fun scenes and kind of revelations. And it was a very layered, very, very packed episode for Perry.
Yeah.
5 was amazing also.
All right. So, but start with 1, folks. The whole show is great, top to bottom. We're going to do a very short break. We'll come back. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal, Jamie McShane. I want to ask you about 1923, too, because I really enjoyed you in that, too, in another great show. But we'll be right back with the one of the stars of the hit show Task, Jamie McShane, on Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We're coming right back.
Let you know.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan?
For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Dave on the stream says, Baby Boom. It's a great fantasy. That's one of my wife's favorite Diane Keaton movies too, Dave. That's a good one. And PJ says, The Godfather movies. Jamie, you know, as an actor, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I said this about Diane Keaton before. Like, I loved her in Annie Hall, but she's one of those actors that always kind of played herself a little bit or some derivation of that. But in the Godfather movies, she was so different and just sort of docile. And I thought it really showed her range kind of because it was such a different role. I don't know if you agree with that or not. But
yeah, I think she was so new, too. I don't know what she had done before that. And she was so kind of not plain, but very, I guess docile is the right word. Just very sweet without much of an edge or not a spark, but. You know, she's just kind of calmer.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, to me, it was like you saw a different side of her. She kind of became iconic playing that kind of, you know, not neurotic, but like just how her persona was. And it was very funny and entertaining, but like she obviously was just a very good actor too. So, all right. I kind of, there's an old saying in show business, never open with a showstopper. And I kind of did that by talking about Task first. And now I'm going to 1923. But you were very good in that, too. Your role wasn't as big, but yet another bad guy.
Yeah, he was horrible.
He was a bad dude. But what was it like? Like, that was for Taylor Sheridan. You were out shooting riding horses. What a fun role that must have been, too.
No, it was a blast. I got to do a couple episodes in season one, and then he wrote a lot more for me in season two. And when you work for Taylor on the Westerns, they fly you out like a week or so, 10 days earlier, and they train you at cowboy camp. Like, they make sure you learn to ride as best you can.
Oh, wow.
And they give you like brand new pair of boots to ride in and a hat, and they suit you up. And it's a blast. I mean, it was just a blast. You wind up riding every day, usually with a bunch of other guys or girls. And it's like being a kid and getting paid for it.
Is it like the scene in Blazing Saddles where they're sitting around the fire eating beans? Is it similar to that?
Yeah, it was mostly like that. Yeah, it was mostly like that. But from the saddle itself, not sitting around. We were actually on the saddle, and it was usually when you were trotting.
Oh, very well said. Very tactful. That was great. Who are some of your favorite actors to watch? Like, you know, I know you had influences. Last time you were here, we talked about Gene Hackman and how much we both love Gene Hackman. And he passed away, ironically, just a few days later. But do you have people right now that you just like when you're flipping around the dial, it's like you can't turn that off because you're such a huge fan?
Gary Oldman.
I mean, yeah.
Just top notch. Sam Rockwell, I find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Have you worked with him?
People. No. I never have gotten to.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Gary,
know, there's a bunch out there.
Gary Oldman is, do you watch Slow Horses?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Love that show.
Yeah.
He's so great. And I, you know, he's one of those guys who's such a serious actor that I expect him to be so serious or sort of dark when he's in interviews, but he's so funny and he's so much fun. Like, the guy has a great sense of humor, you know.
He is, and in person, he's wonderful.
Is he?
He's a hoot. Yeah, oh, God, he's fun. He's funny. He's fun. He's so approachable. He's great. I loved working with him.
What about actresses? Is there someone out there you'd love to work with that you haven't yet, or someone you've already worked with that you just think the world of?
I worked with Holly Hunter a little bit. I thought the world of her. Viola Davis. Viola Davis was wonderful. I got to work with her. Yeah, I mean, I think the list is too long to say who I would love to work with, but there's a lot of them.
What about a role? What about a role? Like, you're so good at doing the bad guy, James, but like, you know, is there a role that you want to, would you like to play the hero or the savior somehow, or like a cop or someone who's going through a trans issue, like some crazy role that, you know, is, really pushes you? Is there some role out there like that that's evaded you or that you've
probably? I'm waiting for you to write it.
Conrad, I would love to.
I would love to. Yeah, I'd love to play all those things. Cops, I've played a lot of cops.
Yeah.
You know, different dirty cop or clean cop. I played on Southland, one of the few shows in a while where I played a really good guy, you know, and that was a blast on that show. I loved it. Another great show.
That was I can't remember who we had on. It might have been Glenn Morshower who said, or it was someone that said the Southland was the most authentic cop show they had ever seen. And I still haven't even seen it, so I gotta check it out.
It's great.
Well, thanks again, buddy. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, are you binge watching anything that doesn't have Jamie McShane in it or something that does? What could you recommend?
Well, we started the Ed Gein thing with Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, yeah.
So we've been watching that. And then I think that's the latest one, because I was back in Jersey for a while for some family stuff. And my mother has very limited television. So Heather waits for me to get back to binge stuff together.
She doesn't Netflix cheat. That's a big thing. Like, it's hard to wait for your partner to actually watch the shows and not go ahead.
She'll watch stuff she knows I don't want to watch.
All right, that's good.
So, it's fair enough.
You worked with him, too, on Sons of Anarchy, which must have been cool, with Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie, he's a sweetheart. He's great. He's a wonderful guy. Very, very gentle person, despite the badass he plays. And very kind.
Yeah.
Very kind.
Well, dude, you keep somehow ending up in these shows surrounded by great actors, and I think a lot of that you could attribute to yourself as well. You're in these great circles, and likeness attracts, so keep up the great work. We're watching, and I everything you do, I just love.
Pete, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me back, and I do love coming on your show here.
Thank you, buddy. Despite not liking me personally, I appreciate you coming on.
No, that has nothing to do with it. The show is wonderful.
Okay.
I mean, I'm so surprised you're actually the host.
Hey, don't say, Conrad, cut that out of the podcast.
Buddy, right. I love you. You're a dear friend.
You too. Love you too, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Jamie McShane, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Task. It is really a good show. And if you liked Mayor of Easttown, you'll love this. This surpassed Mayor of Easttown, and I love that. But Task just keeps getting better every week. Check it out, folks. We are coming right back for Act Two. After the news, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The president is back at the White House after a triumphant stop in the Middle East. The 20 living hostages are back home in Israel for the first time in 2 years. Almost 2,000 Palestinians imprisoned in Israel woke up in Gaza. Correspondent Bradley Blackburn.
President Trump has received a lot of praise for his role in this historic moment, including from former President Biden. But peace in the region is hardly secure, and while there's celebration for a ceasefire, there is also mourning over tremendous loss.
Tearful mourners placed flowers at a growing memorial outside a forensic center in Tel Aviv, where the bodies of four deceased Israeli hostages were brought for identification. The solemn scene, a stark contrast to Monday's celebration.
No word on when the remains of 20 other hostages will be returned. Here in the U.S., a nor'easter bashed the East Coast.